Amen, amen. Glory to God. We are free. Amen. The world thinks that we're bound up, restricted, but we're really free. Amen. Good to see you, Sister Kramer, here in the house of the Lord. Amen. As many of you know, that she had a slight stroke this last week and was in the hospital, and it affected her speech to a certain degree. And I remember saying Friday to her, Brother Carl Keith is here, and his brother had a stroke while he was on the job, and he was in a coma for, I think, a couple of weeks. And the doctors gave really no help, hope that he would ever come out of it or he would ever speak or walk. But we kept praying, and we kept, calling on God, and God just slowly, step by step, just brought him back all the way, and it was a miracle of God, and only God can do that. Amen. Glory to God. Last week, I used a little fire here. We lit some candles, and I had some birthday candles that wouldn't blow out, and the fire department never showed up. But this week, the fire department did show up for the third time because someone went into that elevator and pushed the wrong button, the emergency button, and so I got a little bill in the mail for $450 this week because, you know, so all I'm asking is that there's probably only one person in here that needs that elevator, and he's going to it right now. So if your kids are around and it's a very attractive thing, just remember $200 every time somebody pushes the wrong button. Glory to God. We'd like a fire in here this morning.
Amen.
But instead of calling the fire department, let's call the one who can fan the flames. Amen. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? Again, I want to remind you that senior class is up here. I also want to remind you that we have a food fest. Please be a part of that. There's so much effort that has been put into it. Amen. Then I want to turn your attention to Psalms 135. In verse number 7, Psalms 135, verse number 7 says, He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightning for the rain. He bringeth the winds out of his treasury or his storehouse. He's the one who brings the wind. And then if you go to Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel 37, verse number 9. And it says, Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So God is saying, you prophesy unto the wind. What he is saying is prophesy unto the Spirit. There's a good reason for praying for people to get the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. When somebody comes up here and they're seeking for the Holy Ghost, somebody ought to be prophesying to the wind, God, fill them with the Spirit. And then Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 in verse 35, it says, And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of, of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. So at one time he says, wind, come on. And then another time he says, wind, stop. Peace be still. What kind of man can stop the wind or start the wind? Only him. Lord, we ask your blessing, your anointing, your touch upon this message, not just to occupy time and to put in a little time in the house of God, but so that your word will stir something within us and cause us to draw closer to you and be the people that you want us to be. Amen. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Again, it's good to see you in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Proverbs 30 and 4 says, listen to this. Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who has gathered the wind in his fist, indicating that God has control over all the wind? Now, there isn't anyone on the face of the earth who can control the wind. Patricia just hit the west coast of Mexico, and it was a record hurricane, the strongest hurricane ever on record, of 200 miles per hour, and it was to deliver 12 inches of rain, and they forecast that entire towns would be disappeared because of this hurricane. Meteorologists are trying to figure out what caused such a strong hurricane, and the answer is, who hath gathered the winds in his fist? Don't think that there isn't one storm that God is in control of. I'm not talking just about the physical storms that are happening in this world off of Florida and off of the Keys and in Mexico, but God controls the wind in your life, every storm, every situation. It's not coming out because of the waters that are warming up around us. I believe God has used situations on the earth to typify what he's going to do in the church. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh in Acts 2 and 17. And in these last days, you're going to see greater winds than ever before. And then in 2 Timothy 3 and 1, it talks about this, know also that in the last days perilous times are come. So God is giving us signs and evidence of what is going to come. The list goes on. Men shall be lovers of their own flesh, despisers of those that are good, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of God. From such turn away, God is saying, okay, when you see these things happening, when you see the fire in California, when you see the floods in Florida and Iowa and Nebraska and Texas, when you see the hurricanes coming like you have never seen before, the earthquakes, all preludes to what is happening just before the rapture. Amen. I know you can't scare people to come into the church. But they got to get a love of God within them to cause them, because it's not going to be, well, I better get there because if I don't, I'll miss the rapture. That's the wrong outlook on things. I believe God is setting the stage for a revival within the church. God has shown me yesterday that this church is going to be filled. He brought people here in order to build a church, and some of them aren't here any longer, but they were able to help build this physical building, but he's the one who's going to build the spiritual building in here. And all major moves of God are associated with wind. Listen to me. Every time there was a major move of God within the Bible, there was always wind that accompanied it. Every revival that has hit this planet was sent from heaven and has always turned people back to godliness. Every time someone decided we're going to turn and become more restricted or a disciple for you, God says, all right, get the wind ready because we're going to have revival. Not because we got a little better building or better music or better programs or better outreach, but when what God is looking for is better people.
Amen.
And not better programs.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. Every spiritual reference to revival always points to a people wanting to conform to God's word. And when people get to the place where they're desperate for God, when they get to the place where I want to apply the word of God to me, well, then there's going to be a revival within their life and a revival within the church. Oh, the charismatic movement gathers a lot of people. But I'll tell you what, it's all about feeling good and not conforming to the word of God. You can gather a group of people based on some scriptures within the Bible, but that's not the wind of God, that's the wind of man. Azusa Street Revival made disciples, and there was a great move of God, and it has spread throughout the whole earth. Jonathan Edwards preached a famous message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, in Connecticut. I remember being at that church, and the history is that there were people looking in the window of that church as he was preaching the message, and filled with the Holy Ghost, or slain in the Spirit all around the church, because he said, you know what, we need to conform to God's word, not because there's more liberty, you'll enjoy yourself here. Somebody help me this morning. It says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And today's churches feel they can bring revival by believe it and receive it. No change required. Name it and claim it. Blab it and grab it. You know, hey, come to our church and God will give you a Cadillac. You know? That's fine for TV, but we're not on TV, folks. This is the real deal. This is the real church. And that kind of thing scares me to death. We cannot control the wind of revival any more than we can control the hurricanes that happen on the face of the earth. Amen. Turn your Bibles to John 3. Some of you may have read this before. John chapter 3, verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came by to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So, you know what? People recognize that when the miracles happen within us, God must be with us. Amen. You see, we're not just proclaiming it. Amen. We got the evidence. These signs shall follow them that believe. Jesus doesn't answer him. He simply says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He was confused with the natural birth and the spiritual birth, but there is such a parallel, it's amazing. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Now, the wind bloweth where it listeth or pleases. Let the wind come. No, I'm sorry. The wind has a mind of its own, and it's in the fist of God. So the wind, or the Spirit of God, moves at the direction of God, not the direction of man. Oh, let's have a great service this morning, and we'll have the Spirit of... No, you have to appeal to the one who has the wind in his fist. And then we'll have a great move of God, understand? The wind bloweth where it listeth or pleases, and thou hearest the sound thereof. And I've preached this so many times. The word sound means the language. Every time someone's filled with the Holy Ghost, it's fulfilling this scripture, because there's going to be a language that accompanies the spirit thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is most everyone. No, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And so God is saying everyone's going to have the same experience, folks. The wind bloweth where it pleases. So it is with everyone that is born of the Spirit and is under the control of God. So wind is always associated with salvation. No wind, no new birth. So is everyone. No spirit, no salvation, you see. The wind was there at the very beginning in Acts 2 and 1. And there came a sound from heaven as a rushing, mighty wind, and it sat upon each of them, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. The wind was there at the very beginning, and suddenly there came a sound, suddenly as of rushing mighty wind, and the word mighty means a violent wind. So there was a hurricane in an upper room, and this was bigger than Katrina. Amen. This is bigger than Patricia. This was something that changed lives. Oh, yes, there are going to be lives that are changed because of them. But these are lives that are changed for good. 120 people that were completely changed, they become new creatures in Christ. Amen. The wind was so powerful that there was this immediate change, and there was no 12-step program. And we love our 12-step programs, and we love our programs all together, but I'll tell you what we ought to do is clap our hands for the wind. Come on, wind. Come on, wind. More powerful than a locomotive. Faster than a speeding bullet. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. It's Jesus. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Philippians 3 and 21 says, He is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Oh, Jesus. Well, I came in an alcoholic and I left as a saint. I came in with this lust and I left pure. I had a clean heart. It's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by my wind, it's by my spirit that just destroyed all of the old stuff. All of the debris was blown out of the way, and now all that's left is the good stuff. When Jesus first appeared to his disciples on Sunday, read it. After his resurrection, the doors were shut, and he walked through the wall. Miracle. They were afraid that they were going to come for the disciples one by one and put them on a cross. And the first thing Jesus said was, "Peace be with you." So what he did was the same thing that he did when he was in the boat. He says, "Peace be still. I'm going to calm the storm in your life. I know you're fearful, but peace." Amen. And then he did something that he never did before, never did after. In John 20 and 22, he said, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them." Amen. "And saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now, when the wind started blowing in that upper room, I don't believe there was any question in their mind. That's Jesus. Amen. He said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." But this time it wasn't just a little bit of wind. There was a hurricane in that room. There was a power. It was stronger, but it was still the same breath. You see, God wants us to become very familiar with the breath of God. To the point where as we walk up to the altar, you can feel the breath of God on the back of your head. To the point where you can feel which way God wants us to go. And it could be a gentle wind, or God can really stir up some things within our life. So we can move in the Spirit and know that it is a move of God and not a move of mankind. Amen. Turn to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Ephesians 4 and verse number 11. It says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Why? "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the job that I have, the job that the evangelist and the missionary and the teachers that come before you, their whole job is for the perfecting of the saints, that we come to the knowledge of truth, edifying the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So every time somebody stands behind a pulpit and preaches the Word of God, teaches the Word of God, it's all for one purpose, that we could all come to the knowledge of Christ, that we could have a unity of spirit and perfection. But then it goes on to say that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive us. So there are winds that man can produce, or so-called winds that say, hey, this is a move of God. No, it's not, because my pastor told me. No, it's not. The evangelist said it. No, it's not. The missionaries, you see, we are grounded in truth, so that we're not uprooted by all of the winds of doctrines and there are plenty of winds of doctrine that are out there. God doesn't want us to be tossed to and fro. Well, I heard that. Really? Really? You find that in a book someplace? Is that the true wind? Amen. We have the capabilities of making breezes, don't we, with fans and all kinds of air conditioning and stuff, but boy, don't confuse that with the Holy Ghost. Amen. God wants us to be rooted and grounded in the Word, or we will be uprooted by all kinds of different kinds of winds, if you will. Would you turn to Matthew 7? I thank God for all of the time that people go into the prison and teach the Word of God, because by the time I get there for baptism, they know exactly why they're there. They don't just say, well, yeah, I see that, and maybe I'll try that. It's not just a one-night stand. It's not just, well, it's something that Christians do. They understand it. Thank God for those who are teaching Bible studies. I can't tell you how important Bible studies are. Glory to God. And sometimes we don't always see the results immediately. But Sam, there's a baby coming. Amen. Because of the conception. Amen. Amen. Matthew 7, verse 24, Jesus said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Why? Because it wasn't built on a rock. It wasn't built on the foundation of the Word of God. So he's saying when you hear it, you got to respond to it, because your flesh can trick you and say, well, is that really necessary? But when the storm comes, hallelujah, you can be knocked off your feet, your spiritual feet. For he taught them. The next scripture, it says, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And I love that scripture, because there's all kinds of people who will teach all kinds of things, but you know what? They don't teach with authority. But when we know we have truth, we can teach with authority. It's not my opinion. This is not an option. This isn't something that you choose, should we or shouldn't we. When Jesus said it, they knew that was the truth. When the scribes said it, well, I don't know. That's your opinion, you see. The wind only obeys the director of the wind. The wind or the spirit is under the control of God. The spirit of God is under control of God, and he allows as much of his spirit into a place that really want a move of God, not just a little patty cake church.
Amen.
Been there, did that, no thanks. I'm out of there. I want to have good church every time we get together, you see. Jesus said to the wind, "Peace, be still," and the wind obeyed the director of the wind. All major moves of God are associated with wind. In Genesis 8:1, it says, "And God remembered Noah and every living thing, and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters receded." So God's saying, okay, I destroyed with wind, but now because of Noah and his family, I'm going to have a wind pass over the earth and dry things up, and all of the water is going to be receded, and now you can start a new life. Hallelujah. In Ezekiel 37, when God asked the prophet, "Can these bones live?" Verse 9, "Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breathe the breath upon these slain that they may live." Shadow and type, not a coincidence that if you really want to live, I'm living in a spiritual life, there has to be some prophesying to the wind or to the Spirit of God. God, fill them with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Altar workers, you don't understand the importance of gathering around somebody and saying, God, God, we're asking the Holy Ghost, fill them with the Holy Ghost. I remember seeking the Holy Ghost down at the altar, wearing a three-piece suit, thought I was somebody, thought I was a businessman, and I remember the snot dripping from my nose and tears falling down my cheeks. And I remember the pastor being at the altar, pounding on the altar, saying, God, fill him with the Holy Ghost, fill him with the Holy Ghost. You see, man of God, prophesy to the wind. Woman of God, prophesy to the wind. We want to see revival. We want to see a hurricane. We want to see people filled with the Holy Ghost in this place. Hallelujah. The wind brings life. John 3:8 said, "The wind bloweth where it pleases, and so is everyone that is born of the Spirit, not just some." In Acts 2:1, a rushing mighty wind filled 120 with the Holy Ghost. In 2 Kings 2, Elijah is taken up out of a whirlwind, and a new prophet is anointed to take place of the old prophet. There's a lot of wind blowing today, but we need to make sure it's from heaven and not winds of man-made doctrine. Listen, if God uses the wind as his servant, then he must believe that the wind cannot move without his permission. Amen. Got to get God's permission. The wind is allowing some things to happen within our life because the director wants it to affect us and not destroy us. Amen. I don't know what's going on in your life right now, but there may be a great big wind happening, and rest be assured that God isn't allowing that wind to come into your life to destroy you, but it's to strengthen you and define who you really are. Brother Bear, heart out of rhythm. Brother Fitch, knocked over because of the defibrillator that he had this week. Sister Kramer going through the stroke. All of these things, God allowed that to happen. I'm sorry. I would like every life in here to be perfect and peaceful, but God's in control of the wind, and he doesn't do it to destroy, but he does it in order for us to move in a direction that God wants us to move. Do you value life more? Do you value your health more now than you did before? Hallelujah. God will do it to your business. Hallelujah. In verse 8, it said that they moved under the pleasure of God. Now, in the 27th chapter of Acts, Paul is put on a ship for Rome. He was a prisoner. It wasn't his decision to do that. It said that they sailed many days against the wind. They made very little headway because it was the time of the year that you really aren't supposed to be in a ship. In verse 8, it said that they moved along the coast with much difficulty and then came to a place called Fair Haven. They came to Fair Haven, and after they spent some time in Fair Haven, and the season was now dangerous to sail, Paul warned them, said, don't go on because there is going to be loss of things, your ship, and perhaps hurt to life. It seemed that is my message almost every week. Don't leave Fair Haven. It's a safe place of refuge. And they said, well, okay, well, we don't want to stay here because we'd rather winter a little further south where the weather is more pleasant. So we'll take the chance of leaving Fair Haven and going someplace else. And in the process, they were shipwrecked. The wind out there could destroy or cause much hurt and damage. That's what Paul said. But Fair Haven was not a comfortable place to winter, so they cast off where life could be easier in the winter because people feel some restrictions in God's Fair Haven. Sometimes they cast off. They're tempted to leave some place that they know is safe, but maybe not as comfortable. I mean, this message will preach, folks. Oh, we hear you, Paul, but we don't think the wind is that strong that it could destroy us. In fact, the captain of the ship says it's okay. The owner of the ship says it's all right. I don't care what preacher tells you that it's all right. I'm telling you, if you go that way, there will be hurt. A south wind persuades people to leave safety. There were a lot of people this week on the beaches of Mexico because the weather was just so beautiful. Amen. A better place to winter until the south winds came and they wished, boy, I wish I was at home. And now I can't get back because my transportation is canceled. The south winds seduce people to every wind of doctrine. What the south wind represents is an easier way, a more comfortable way than what you have. A south wind lures us into unknown areas that are dangerous. For example, when King Saul was on the top of his game, he changed God's commandments. Well, you know, I know what you said, God, but we kept the best of the sacrifice. And you know, King Agag, well, you know, I just wanted to show him around and what we really accomplished so we didn't destroy him and some of the Amalekites. And what happened, it ended up causing his life to be taken. When David was comfortable at home, instead of going out to do battle with the rest of his army, well, that south wind caused him to commit adultery. When Samson knew, you know what, I'm strong enough to take anybody on, it wasn't long till the enemy was laying in his lap and deceived him. After the battle was won, Achan suffered the loss of his life and his entire family and everything that he had for a little gold and a little silver because everything was fine right now. I'm telling you, that south wind, when it starts to come in, it'll deceive you and say, well, take your ease. It'll be all right. Church, as Paul said in Ephesians 4, there is a wind of deception on the church in these last days. Take your ease. I know, you know what? You did your ministry for so many years. I've heard that voice myself say, why don't you just, you know, let somebody else take care of it, you see? And all of a sudden, you can be deceived by that, well, I'm just going to take my ease now. It is a wind that wants us to disobey. It comes to us through rationalization, calling us to compare ourselves. Well, other people aren't going to that degree. So what is the answer, Pastor, to all of this? If it doesn't line up with the Scripture, here's what you ought to do. You need to reject it. No matter who says it, it's not in the book. Reject it. If it is contrary to the leadership, be careful. The enemy is leading you out of fair haven and wants you to get to a place where you can be destroyed. Amen. Would you turn to Psalms 135? Psalms chapter 135 and verse number 5, it says, for I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleases, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all the deep places. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the winds out of his treasuries. And so all of these things that happen within nature, you know, I know there's this scare of global warming and all of these things. And do you think that man has control? Even if we define what the problem is, do you think we really could do something in order to change it? Everybody talks about the weather, but nobody ever does anything about the weather. Do you know why? Because we're helpless against those things. And if we think that we can build a church based on our intellect, based on what we can produce on the platform, you're sadly mistaken, because it's all about the wind. It's all about the Spirit of God that moves in this place. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Fill this place with your Spirit. Kill the flesh and make alive. Amen, amen. Can these bones live? I asked that same question this morning at 5 o'clock. Can these bones, you know, never buy a puppy. Never, ever buy a puppy. 5 o'clock in the morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Have you ever wondered if there will be wind in heaven or on the new earth? You see, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, there are not houses in heaven. You're not going to have a penthouse. You're not going to have a soapbox or an English tutor, because, you know, we have these things for shelter. Is there really a need for shelter in heaven? No. All there is a need for is what God can give us, and we're just going to be so, you know, Adam and Eve, you know, they didn't take an apprenticeship in carpentry and plumbing, you know, because they didn't need it. It was a paradise. And so, there won't be any wind, because wind is ordered by God to accomplish what he desires here on earth. Amen. It's the only purpose. Wind does what God wants. Wind, do this, do that, do this, you see. Revelation 7 and 1, listen to this. It says, after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the winds should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor any tree. So God's saying, okay, enough with the wind. We don't need it anymore. We've come to perfection, and so there is no need for wind any longer. I want to see the wind of revival blowing within this congregation. I want to see that there are great moves of God, and when people come in, they're not going to remember necessarily the preaching or the song service, but they're going to remember what I remembered when I first came into the church. My God, there's something that touched me. I don't know what it was, but the tears started streaming down my eyes. Oh, God. That's the kind of wind. We want an upper room experience again. A mighty rushing wind that moves. It's up to God to do what only He can do based on the obedience of His people. I said earlier, He's not looking for better programs. He's looking for better people. And when we get better people, When we decide, hey, you know what? I know those people have been coming on Saturday mornings all the time. I don't know what goes on here, but, 8 o'clock, that's pretty early on Saturday. When they're all in one mind and one accord, folks, you're going to see a move of God. There's going to be a sound as of rushing mighty wind. It will fill the house and fill the people and fill the neighborhoods and fill the cities that we're living in. God can calm the storm, or He can call for wind to direct our paths. Amen. Hallelujah. He prepares a table in the presence of our enemies. Nobody sits down and eats when they're afraid. But that's the calming effect of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are not the directors of the wind. Every week I could go to some kind of seminar on how to build a church. Every week somebody is declaring, you have to have boot camp. You have to have this. You got to have an outreach like this. You got to have, I can't imagine that all of the disciples did that before the day of Pentecost. It was pure God. Pure God. They didn't give toasters away. They didn't give bicycles away. They didn't give free lunches to McDonald's away. They just said, come, and the Spirit of God is going to touch you and move you. We are just performers in a well-written drama by God. The gift and calling of God is without repentance, and He's called each and every one of us to fill a role in this drama that God has, especially in these last days. Please listen to the director of the wind. Hallelujah. He's directing our lives in order to see other lives saved and that we become more and more involved in the things of God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Just suppose that I am the director of the wind. Just suppose that I play the role of Jesus. Quiet on the set. No murmuring. No complaining. We're about to start the production. And action. I said, and action. Glory to God. Do you not know your lines? Have you been studying the script? Because it's important to study the script in order to do what is supposed to be done. You see, this is an emotional scene, and you don't look like you're in love. Cut. Cut. Now, if we have to do the scene over and over again. Wind. Let's have the wind come in. The special effects. Let's have the wind come in. Hallelujah. And then you need to play your part. You need to do what God wants you to do. Amen. Amen. Take 143 and roll. And that may be the situation in your life where God's saying, okay, your part, you're up. This is an emotional scene. This is about romance, you understand. And you're just sitting there and you're not having any excitement. Have you read the script? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Have you learned the script? Because he's got it all written out for us. All we have to do is apply it to the drama of our life. Oh, yes, there's going to be a little wind involved in this thing. But I'll tell you what, there are millions and millions of people looking at this drama of the church in the end times. And they want to know, are you sincere in what you're doing? Or is this just a part that you play on an hour and a half on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings and on Wednesdays, and then you go back to your own script? My whole life has been studying my lines and trying to apply them to the drama. Life is just one big stage, and God is the director. The problem is that we see the beginning, but we don't see the end. And God sees the end from the beginning. We just see it one frame at a time. And what God is saying, trust me. Trust me, if you will play this role that I have given you, if you will go according to my script, I'm telling you, it's going to be worth it. There are going to be people who are going to come back. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't have to audition for this thing. God has already said, by my spirit, I have put you in the drama, and now you have got to play the part that God has asked you to play. Oh, I don't want to play that part. Too bad. It's the director. He makes the decision. Well, I want to play something that's a little more, you know, flamboyant, and then I get more recognition. I'm sorry. You don't pick the part. Just do the best you can, and maybe you'll get another part down the road. Hallelujah. Amen. Man of God, can these bones live? Yeah, you know God. But only based on the wind that comes into our lives. Because the Spirit gives life. The letter killeth, and that's why a lot of people are afraid to come, because they're afraid of the letter. But I'll tell you what, the Spirit gives life. Amen. Would you stand with me? Scriptures say we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. My pastor came to me and said to me years ago, I want you to preach a message on Sunday morning. And I said, no thanks. I said, just allow me to teach my Bible studies. That's where I'm most comfortable in. He said, no, I want you to do this. I've never argued with my pastor ever until that point. But you know what? God has a role for each of us to play, and he has to get us to the place where we're qualified in order to do that role. And so maybe God is asking you to do a little more than what you've ever done before. I'll tell you what our role is not. It's not just to sit there with our mouths open. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but we can't just come to church and think that that's the role. We are not the audience. We are the performers. The audience is out there. Those people who are looking at us when the storms come, how do we respond to the storms? The altar's open. Would you come?